This is Lake Effect Weekend from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. This week on WUWM, we've been bringing you stories about the issue of truancy in Milwaukee's public schools. We've learned a few of the complicated reasons students don't come to school, and we've heard how MPS is working with parents and community partners to raise district attendance to its goal of 95%.
This year, MPS is relying on a new group of staff members to focus on that 95% goal. They're called Regional Attendance Liaisons, and their time is devoted to working with families on strategies to get kids to class. 30 attendance liaisons work across 55 district schools. They concentrate on students who average 60 to 70%. Attendance.
Lake Effect's Rachel Morello spoke with two of those folks about their roles, Bud Strelo and Cheryl Buchanan. They were joined by MPS's attendance liaison coordinator, Anita Sparks, who speaks first.
Last year, the superintendent started looking at attendance and we noticed a dive and we said, we got to do something. So along with the social work department, we brought this program in around January, I think it was. It was nine of them. We worked in 21 schools. This year, there are 30 of them, and we work in 55 schools.
Tell me a little bit about what you do, Bud.
I'm a regional attendance liaison. Our job is to kind of be a mentor of a student. We have a select group of students. We get 20 students at the high school level. We first get our student list, and then we build trust with the students. That's our first thing, is to tell them, you know, what we're doing and get them to start trusting us to tell us things about what their situation. But we also do things like developing a academic success plan. So build a plan where they can see themselves achieving. That's kind of basically our job, is to see them through the year to be as successful as they can, not only in school, but at home, and getting in touch with the community services if needed, being a liaison between the teachers and the faculty and the administrators and the family, and just try to put it together for them the best that we can to assist them.
So you said you're in a high school, right?
Yes.
And you get about 20 students?
Yes.
How many of you are there in your school?
One. We're part-time, and we devote our time working with the families, tracking them down, finding out what we can.
They work about 20 hours a week, so they're not full-time. There's about an hour a week dedicated to each student. But that also excludes their meeting time. So we meet every other week for 3.5 hours. And then if they have to do home visits, all of that is included in the 20 hours. So that's why it's a part-time position.
Cheryl, tell me how your duties are similar or different to Bud's, seeing that you're
elementary.
In an elementary school.
Okay. I have two elementary schools, so I have 10 students at each school. And my role is working with the little ones, including the families, because the little ones can't get to school on their own. So I really depend on the families, and I try to connect with them, find out if they need any resources outside of the school itself. Then I also try to connect the parents to get into the school, connecting them with the parent coordinators, coming in and seeing a social worker if there's additional resources that we can use. I don't concentrate more on their academics. I look at progress, but I don't do credits in the elementary level. I also think one of the differences is in the elementary level, hugs go a long way. They'll smile back at you, the little ones do. So it's very nice for the K-4 through, I would say, fifth grade. Little incentives at the end of the week, we can make goals, and then they go home and tell their parents, I got to be there because I'm going to get this at the end of the week. So that pushes them to go home and communicate with their parents and let them know, I met this lady, and she told me I was going to get this if I come to school every day. So that kind of thing.
Can you talk a little bit about those meetings that you guys have? What sorts of things do you talk about, or what training do you do?
Because sometimes this work is so challenging, I want to keep them lifted up too. So they had to write a reflection about their greatest moment. And then we share and talk about that. And it gets a little emotional sometimes because I want them to carry that work with them, because when that child is almost at that goal and then they don't meet it, I don't want them to be so hard on themselves. But to look back on some of the successes that they had. And then we talk about the other question that I asked them in their group. Now talk about a situation that you wish you could solve or you wish would be better, and talk about it at the table, because somebody at the table may know that answer already. So they are resources to one another. One of the things that we've also focused on this year was celebrating a parent also. So when the kid makes a success, they make phone calls at home, or they send a certificate home in the mail to the parent. Thank you for the work that you are doing to support your student.
Do you face a lot of parents who are resistant to bringing their kid, or who just maybe face a lot of other obstacles and they can't get their kids to school?
Yes, life happens to people. Mm-hmm. And part of our role is building them up and letting them know the resources that are out there. I've talked to a lot of parents who didn't know certain things. An example was a kid was not going to school. 3 weeks had not come to school. I finally contacted the parent. Her car was broke. So I talked to her and I said, there are resources that I can help you with. So from our group, we had made this resource book, and in it was called Job Access. And they would pay, depending on, you had to fill out an application, and depending on how your income fell, they would fix your car up to $4,500. She was so excited to get this information, but she didn't know about it. So, but we want to bring them into the school and let them see what the school offers. A lot of them don't know what the school can offer for them.
In high school, Bud, do you find a lot of similar parental involvement, or is most of your focus on the kid themselves?
No, definitely. The parents are part of our program. We have to build relationships with the parents just like our students. And once they realize that, you know, we say, hey, what can we do to help you? All of a sudden, things start to change. And then when you start doing things for them, they become part of the team and you draw them in. I'm thinking of one example of a student that I've worked with. There's a rule in Milwaukee that if you live outside of 2 miles from the school, you can get a bus. But if you're just a block in, you're required to provide your own transportation or walk. And her student had asthma and a little overweight and had difficulty making it all the way to school. And so she'd have to try to hustle. She didn't have a car, and it was difficult for her. Well, when I got talking and building my relationship with the student, he said he liked to ride bikes. I was able to get a bicycle for him and a lock, and all of a sudden his attendance started improving. And so the parent then, you know, looked at me as a helper.
It sounds like sometimes the solution is pretty simple. A bike, bus service, a special lunch, something just to get people excited. But like you said, Cheryl, life happens. Do you guys think because of that, people like you will always be needed in these sorts of roles just to help parents know what their options are in students?
I think they will. I know in my own personal life, I was a little rough around the edges growing up, and there were people outside of my family that I consider light posts, people that guided me through. And kids don't know this sometimes. And when somebody, whether it be teacher, community people, clergy, as a community, there are people that are good and want to help. And when they tap into those things, they will always be needed in this world.
What's so interesting to me about the work that you all do, it sounds like it could be this really punitive, scary thing, like, you're not coming to school, you need to get here, but mm-hmm. everyone seems to have a really positive attitude about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if a student's not coming to school, that is an issue, it is a problem, but mm-hmm. you all seem very forthcoming about the fact that, you know, yeah, it is an issue, but we're working on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all in, I think, the selection process, too, getting the right people at the table, getting the right people with the right heart and the patience, because these are not behaviors that are going to change like that. They need to be nurtured and provided services and listened to and being patient with and persistence. They are very persistent. We may have had some families that said, why is this woman calling me again? But then when they see the fruits of the labor, they are very much on board.
I'd like to just hit on the topic of follow-up, because you have it, like we had kids last year, but they're not on my list this year, yet I'll still see them in the hallway. So I'm still talking with them, and I'm trying to see how they're doing and support them and still kind of their advocate. You know, these relationships you build, I think they're for a lifetime.
WUWM's education reporter Rachel Morello spoke with MPS's attendance liaison coordinator, Anita Sparks, and two regional attendance liaisons, Bud Strelo and Cheryl Buchanan.
You can find all of the reports on truancy in Milwaukee Public Schools at WUWM.com.